Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm delighted that you're here. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews 12, if you got your Word of God. Well, we're finishing up Fuel the Fire today. We've dropped away from our Sunday school lesson to take this for 4 weeks, and today's our final session on Fuel the Fire. We're talking about Jesus fueling the fire. And take these workbooks, share them with a friend, or go back through them for Bible study or for whatever to enhance you. Remember last week I talked about the zapper. That Satan, when you leave the door back there, he's going to zap you so that you remember nothing in here. Mm-hmm. And then when you leave worship, you leave the sanctuary, he's going to hit you with a zapper again because he doesn't want you to remember anything Jeff has shared with us or the songs that we sang. And what I want to encourage you to do is try to hold on to something. The way I teach, I try to share some things in a different way that maybe it will mean something to you and you can hold on to it. So when you walk out of here, you can carry that with you. When I walk out of here and I go into the sanctuary, I am surprised almost every week. I call those affirmatives, but there'll be things said in the worship hour that was said or displayed in here. So I want you to listen for that. Listen to how what we say here is matched up with what we say over there. It's important for us. Mary and I are very excited that we had the opportunity. We got up early. It was like coming to church just one day early. I thought we were going to turn our clocks back early. I didn't know we were going to turn our day back early. But we came here for that brief share yesterday because Mary was playing for Jim, who was singing, Jim Haynes. And I wanted to support Mary, and so we both decided to show up, and it was a wonderful time. It was very encouraging, and nice to know that our church has this facility. But we met Teresa while she was there, and we invited her to come, and she said, I'll be here.
Amen.
And she's here, and that really means a lot to us to know that she kept her word. And so, sister, we appreciate you very much and delighted that you're here. All right. We want to look, what I'd like to do first, Jesus fueled a fire of belief and trust in God as he surrendered his entire life so that we might have life eternal. So what I'd like you to do at your table is somebody read Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, out loud to the group, to your group. So somebody read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll go back over that in a moment, but here's what I want. When you finish reading, I want you to have a moment of discussion at your table for what you just read. And here's what I want you to answer or come to some conclusion about. So what? What does this mean? So what? Because Roman numeral 1, where we find our scripture today, if you look at your outline of the book there, Jesus gave it all for the joy. Jesus gave it all for the joy that was set before him. And I'm asking you, so what? What does that mean? So let's, somebody read it out loud. Hebrews 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Doesn't matter which translation. Read it. And then ask that question. Jesus gave it all. So what? Go ahead.
Hebrews 12, yes. No rules. Therefore, we also, since we are. I didn't bring that outline, but the one that I did. There you go. Yeah, Hebrews 12. 12, 1 through 3. See, I can't see these. Therefore, we also see that we are surrounded by some great cloud.
All right, we should be wrapping up. Should have already finished the scripture and have a moment to take a look at the question asked. Give you about 20 seconds more.
Consider
All right. Is there a table would like to share something that you discussed at your table? The so what part? Jesus gave it all. So what? Anybody? Any table? Someone? I'm sorry? We're supposed to give it all. Okay? All right. Anything you were going to say? Oh, being watched. Oh, I like that. You're hitting the nail. Eric, what else were you going to say?
Well, I'm just going to say that as we read Scripture, I was thinking talk about the sin was so easy to sense of.
Yes.
I think the more fellowship we have with Christ, we need to cry down every day, but beyond that, there's ways that we can commune with God during the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Amen. And Ron?
So the Lord tells us to keep our eye on the goal and run with the direction. And so 1-8 was the big goal of the church.
Yeah.
But those 2 years have passed now.
Right.
And we have to persevere again.
Yeah.
And it's not like that one blip thing.
Right. It's not like it's over. We can go back and look at... Yvonne, were you going to say something? Yes, ma'am.
Some will not live in strong because they grow weary and little heart.
Yeah. Good. Yes, sir, Paul.
I'm aware that in the book of Hebrews 14 times, Paul uses the phrase, let us. Yeah. I believe Paul was right there.
That's all right. A lot of similarities is right.
Martin says in verse 1, let us walk. He says, lay aside.
Okay.
In the same verse, he says, let us walk. Run with patience.
Good.
And the model is in verse 2, Jesus.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Thank you so much. So let's take a look at the scripture again. And as we look at, the so what, Jesus gave it all for the joy that was set before him. Well, of course we know why he did that. But, I like to see things from a different standpoint so that I can understand what happened. I want to understand what my Lord is trying to communicate to me, what he's trying to say to me. And so he says, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version simply because that's what's written down here. It seems like they changed this scripture. But I think in the Sunday school lesson we go to next week, we're at 2 Peter chapter 1, looking at those first several verses of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Next week, talking about the Word, how important the Word is. So get your Sunday school book. I don't know, Betty, do we have any more Sunday school books back there? Those Sunday school?
I think we do.
All right. So before you leave, you want to get a Sunday school book so that you're caught up. And then I've got some little notes we're going to send out that you'll have for next week. As well, that will help you as you study the scripture passages for next week. All right, so let's look again at the scripture passage. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and our pastor's already talked about it. He used that verse when he was preaching to us about heaven. So we want to recall that moment, go back and listen to what he had to say again. Let us also lay aside every weight. What do we mean by that? That weight?
Sin.
Yeah. Sin. What else?
Problems.
Unnecessary burdens.
Unnecessary burdens, yes.
I think it's neat that he said sin and weights. We all know what sin is, but there are things that may not be sins, but still can be a weight that we should lay aside.
Right. Yeah, those things that does so easily beset us, as Eric said, that good old King James. The things that easily beset us, those things that, if you're a runner, you might have the weights on. If you notice the World Series this past week, and congratulations to the Cubs, I was rooting for them. I'm an American League guy, so I was rooting for Cleveland, but I just hope the Cowboys don't take 108 years before we get back to the promised land. But, they put weights on there. They don't use the weights when they're out there batting. They put the weights on what? Well, they're practicing. Same with a runner. He'll put weights on his ankles or he'll weigh himself down when he's walking so that when he takes that off. And I don't know about you, but I remember, I think it was about the fifth grade, Hinesville, Maryland. Mrs. Morris was my teacher. Oh, I really loved Mrs. Morris. Got fond memories of her trying to straighten me out in the fifth grade. But I can remember being out on the gym floor practicing playing basketball, and that's not one of my best sports, basketball, but I loved to play. But I remember Mom bought me some new sneakers. And this was before Air Jordan and all that stuff we got today. But guess what? With those new sneakers, I thought I could do what? Jump! Jump higher, run faster. Woo! I thought, man, look at me. I've almost touched the basket. You know, almost, right? Okay. So let us lay aside every weight. What hinders us? That's what we can ask here. What hinders us? What hinders our progress? What would stop this church from growing? Let's say you just decided, well, I'm not going to give anymore. You know, I'm going to quit being generous. What would happen to our church? What would happen to our outreach? What would happen to our efforts that we believe God is directing us to do? So those things that hinder us or that can stop our progress, this is something for us to think about. And the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance. Now this is a key word here. Endurance. What do you think endurance means? To endure.
Just keep going. Be able to just keep going.
Okay.
Be able to.
Did you ever get tired, wore out? Well, I had. And I love to be wore out doing something right, doing something good. I love to come home. I know God's going to help me to sleep so good. I often pray, God, I don't have much time to sleep, but would you just let your angels attend unto me and give me such a peaceful relaxation so that when I wake up in the morning, boom, I'm ready to fly. Ready to move. And I pray that for Mary, too. God, you help her when she wakes up in the morning. Because when her feet hit the ground, she can do your work. Endurance. Endurance. Well, here's one quote I got about this key word, because he mentions it several times, kind of like what Paul was saying about the let us part that the writer of Hebrews will bring to us. To bear up under trial. To continue when the going is tough. So what's that phrase? When the going gets what?
Tough, keep going.
The tough get going. Right. Can we be tough for the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what, Christians today, we take a back seat. We're going to let the people who love Satan, who love idolatry, who love sin, we're going to let them motivate and captivate and take our world over. You know, when you go back into the Bible history, not just history in itself, but and I love church history. That's the most exciting history there is. You go back into that northern and southern kingdom when Solomon died. Uh-huh. Remember what happened? They split up, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And his son didn't do a good job?
No.
And so they split up and 10 tribes went where?
North.
To the north. Yeah. 2 tribes to the south. The south had a little revival then. They got music in their heart. And every time they had several little revivals. And God spared them for over 100 years. Amen. But the north, here they come. The enemy. Because they would not repent. Because they would not turn their eyes back on God. Here come the Assyrians. And they captured them. And there was something called a diaspora. Or diaspora, however you want to say it. So, our words here, endure. We need to hang on. It's a race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus. Now go back to our first one. Remember, God took Abraham out and he told him to do what? Our first lesson on this, fuel the fire. God took him outside. You know, and it wasn't to the woodshed, but it was to straighten out. He told him to do what? We're looking at it right here. Looking. What? He told him to what? Look up.
Amen.
To see the stars. To see your generations. I'm going to be faithful to you, Abraham. I'm going to see to it that you bear a son. And there's your children. That's you. That's me. We're there too. As he looked up in the stars. Well, the writer here is telling us to look to Jesus. Now, ask yourself this. Who are people turning to today and looking to today?
Just
Well, right now, since we're fixing to finish the vote, if you hadn't voted already, it's Tuesday. That's it. It's over, Johnny. It may be over one way or the other. We need to pray. We need to be involved, and you need to cast your vote. I'm just strong about that. I don't see how anybody can look at God's Word and know who Jesus is and know who God is and say, we're not supposed to be involved in politics. We're not supposed to be involved in the, you know, because the gospel of today teaches us about the government is on his shoulders. Where did law come from? It came from Jesus. It came to Moses when he was up on that mountain who brought two stones down. But when the people were sinning, he did what with those stones? He broke them. He had to go back to God and say, would you mind, you know, rescinding that thing?
Yeah.
Rescind it for me. Because there was 10 great words. And somehow we think that we can change God's rules today. We can change who we are as a man or as a woman. We can change what marriage is. Oh, don't get me started on those things. We need God. We need a Savior. We need a Christ. That's the only way we're going to make it. And God wants to take care of the things that you think. Think on these things, he says. Emotionally, he says, boy, you're not going to find any joy. Jesus is talking about the joy that was sitting before him. And the emotions he had. He was ready to run that race. Mentally, emotionally, physically, he could do it. Why? When you see Jesus, he's always out front. And here come people following him. They were running after Jesus to keep up with him. Because he kept himself going. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Like I told you last week, God is in the finishing business. Not only did he say it is finished on the cross, he's in the finishing business of finishing us. One day, I'm going to be perfect. I'm a sinner right now. And like I said last week, please be patient with me because God's not finished with me yet. I am a sinner. I've been saved by grace. I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth so many times, I will wonder sometimes why I even stand here for God. But he encourages me, come back, Ron. I'm going to correct things. I'm going to make you right. I'm going to perfect you one day. Remember, Jesus prayed. He's prayed for us. Peter, I prayed for you that what? Not to take you out of the world, but what? That you'll be able to fight the wicked one that's out there. You know, Jesus is the one that's going to enable us to run that race. You say, well, Ron, I can't run. I can't run like I used to. Boy, as a little kid, I was fast. I could almost beat my older brothers. I mean, I was fast. I'd win races. All you had to do was just say, boom, take off, run. I was fast. But now, I'm not fast now. I really don't want to race. I'd be huffing and puffing and needing oxygen. I couldn't do it. I'd be like one of those big pro football players that's running, you know, those tackles, those defensive guys that are running down the field. And you can see them all of a sudden, those guys start slowing down. And next thing you know, they are being tackled. They ran out of what? Steam. Yeah. But God helps us to get to the finish line. You know, that's our only hope. God's going to get us to the finish line. Because we can't do that by ourselves.
Amen.
All right. So what part? And looking to Jesus means to look means to trust God. To trust God. Just like Abraham trusted him. It's no different from us today. The word still is the same. You know, the thing I like about God, I've been in positions, you know, I've sat down and talked with the presidents of companies and CEOs. And one day they always come up with a new rule book. Well, we're going to follow things this way. You know, so now there's a new rule book. And, Ron, you got to go out there and be sure everybody understands the new rules. Well, a week later, we got a new rule book. You know, all the company changes hands. And you're talking to an HR person. And now there's new rules because you're a new company. And we're confused in our world today, even our business world, even in our lives today. But Jesus, he's the what? The same one. Today, as yesterday, and tomorrow. One of the things I love about being a Christian is I know my God is consistent. He's never going to come back and say, you know, I goofed on those Ten Commandments. Or, you know what, I need to add another one. It's not going to happen. And when we learn that He's consistent, and that the world's inconsistent, we should put our faith and trust on the one who is. Well, to run the race with Christ means committing to it and not growing weary. I want you now to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's a verse you probably can quote on your own. Most of you probably know it. Isaiah 40, 31. Read that out loud to your group and discuss that for a moment. What does it mean not to grow weary? Isaiah 40, verse 31. What does that mean? Not to grow weary from Isaiah 40, 31. Yes, verse 31, Isaiah 40. All right. Who wants to share what you discussed at your table? Who wants to share a thought that you had? What that verse means, don't grow weary. What does that verse tell us? Yes, ma'am.
Don't quit.
Don't quit. Okay, good. Don't quit. Don't give up. Now, Satan wants to do that. He wants to put the zapper on you to affect your mind. He doesn't want you to remember a thing you learn here, a thing you read here, a thing that God speaks to your heart from. He doesn't want you to have any of that. He wants to take away your joy. He wants to put you in turmoil. You ever seen these washing machines? I understand they had some recall or they're fixing to. Samsung. I've got a Samsung at home. I looked at that thing yesterday. They said that thing was spinning so fast it blew off the top. I said, boy, I sure hope I'm not near. If that's mine, I've got to find out if mine's one of those I'm going to get a rebate on. Probably say, well, we'll send you a $5 rebate. Isaiah 41, we're going to mount up as what?
Wings.
As what?
Wings.
Eagles! To do what? God didn't say some
soar.
Little bird?
Soar.
Little parakeet? Yeah, so we can soar. God's going to help us to finish and get done with this thing. To win the race, we're going to have to give it all we got, though. We're going to have to trust God and give it all we got. Because you will finish the finish line. Ron, I can't do it. I've got arthritis. I can't do it. My knees are bad. Yeah, you can. God's going to help you. There's no time frame here. God's going to seek to it that you reach the end line. God's going to seek to it that He finishes your life. Boy, that's exciting. All right, Roman numeral 2. Jesus made Himself nothing to model ultimate humility and sacrifice. And we read from Philippians 2, verses 7 and 11, through 11. I thought I was doing a 7-Eleven commercial there for a moment. Anybody want a Slurpee? Last week we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We're going to look at 7 through 11 again, the English Standard Version. He emptied. Remember what we said, emptied man? He poured himself out. He poured himself out. Didn't mean he gave himself away like that, where there's nothing left. He emptied himself out by taking the form of a servant. You know what Paul says here? Paul says, I'm a servant. The word is doulos in the Greek. It's a powerful word. It's used throughout the New Testament to represent servant or bond servant. It means slave. We're a slave to our Lord Jesus. A slave to Christ. He should be the one who controls our every move, our every motive. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, some people can scoff and laugh at that right now, but there's a great day coming when the Lord returns, when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. There's coming a day when everybody will do that, but it's too late then. It's too late to get salvation, to get the eternal kingdom, to get a reservation up there, a confirmation reservation that you can do right now by knocking at Jesus' door and saying, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me, a sinner. That can happen. In fact, our text tells us, if you're looking at your text there, not the scripture, but the text of the notes here, the fact that Jesus humbled himself by succumbing to a human death and becoming the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, demands a response from us. I want to pause there. What kind of response is demanded of us? What kind of response?
Giving our all.
Giving our all? Yeah. Anyone else?
Obedience.
Obedience? Yes.
Witnessing.
Witnessing. It demands a response for us. You know, some people say, in New Testament theology, we come to thinking about terms like this. Well, I'm not going to choose. I don't want to choose Jesus. And they think that lets them off the hook. By not choosing, they're thinking, that lets me off the hook. I don't have to choose Jesus. I'm just not going to do it. I'm choosing. The fact that you say, I'm not going to choose, means you have made a choice already. That's New Testament thinking, theology. That's just real easy to understand. You choose not to choose. And by not choosing, it means that I don't accept you, Lord. I don't want the heavenly kingdom. I don't want to be with you eternally and forever lasting. Well, yes.
Even those in hell will acknowledge him as Lord.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Yes, good point.
Yep.
Wonderful. Yeah. So it asks us, what will our response be to this choice, this demand? God's demanding a response from us. Surrendering your life to Jesus is just not about agreeing to follow him. It's about actually following him, following his example and living as he did. When you think about three levels of generosity, and I thought this was good. Our book tells us there's the obedient giver. What's the obedient giver?
The tither.
I'm sorry?
The tither.
The tither. How about a sacrificial giver?
The honor. Much more.
Yeah. And then there's the surrendered giver.
Ooh, that's even
what's
more.
That?
That's more.
Yeah. You know, I heard the other day, listening to 90.5, thank you, Johnny, 90.5 radio, just happened to flip it on. I tell you, I'm always listening to what God's going to tell me through the media. There was Tony Evans, a two-minute little thing on 90.5. You know Tony Evans? You know, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. I've heard Tony a number of years. I remember being at the old Cowboy Stadium, a men's event that went on there, a Friday and a Saturday. Maybe it was a Sunday thing, too. I don't think so. But I remember hearing Tony preach down there and listening to him. When I flip it around on the radio, sometimes I'll come to him and I'll stop. You know what? Even at home sometimes when I'm sitting there and I'm flipping around looking for something. There's this guy called T.D. Jakes that comes on. Why ain't listening to him? T.D. has something to say. I tell you what, and he moves, man. He gets down on that bottom floor talking to his folks. I know a lot of people that go there. And, we ought to be praying for these men because they're reaching people in our community, people in our society, and making a difference. I'm thankful for a man like Tony Evans, but Tony was hitting on what we're talking about here. He said, some folks just hope to get lucky. Oh, I wish I could say like he did. I wanted to go back and listen to it again. I just never got back. I'll still try. Tony Evans, you're talking about folks being lucky. Hey, folks, we don't want to be lucky. God will provide for us. God's going to provide for us. Don't we realize that? He talked about folks that hold on to their money. He says, what's going to happen? They're going to have a hole in their pocket. And the money will just roll right through their pockets. They think, well, where's that money ahead? It's gone. Because you weren't wise. You weren't a faithful steward. You weren't a surrendered giver, or a sacrificial giver, or an obedient giver. Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. You might want to turn there real quick. I'm sorry, Mark, chapter 4. What's the story of the widow with the two mites? Anybody want to share it with us? Because that's where this is at. Mark 12, verses 41, 42, 43, and 44. The widow with the two mites, remember?
Mm-hmm.
What was Jesus doing? Boy, when you read that first verse, back, somebody read verse 41 out loud. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Read that out loud for us. Anybody, somebody.
Did he cross from the temple treasury? He watched how the crowd brought money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and brought him 2 pounds of coins for his very little. Somebody in the disciples, he said to them, I assure you, this poor widow has put in more than all those giving to the temple treasury. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in
Thank you, Teresa. She read all verses there. That was good. Because we learned something great from this little woman. She brought two dirty little coins. That's all she had. But notice what verse 41 said. Jesus was watching the treasury. Jesus is watching that offering plate. And you know, there's places to drop your offering envelope around the church here. That's churchy. That's what they did back there, too. The Jewish church had things they set out like that so you could drop your offering off. Yes.
We had an experience. I don't want to betray the confidence very early, but there's someone who has a real particular need in this class. We've been praying about it. The class has been, some know about it. And I had a person this morning come over with lemons and beans and said, I want to help them out. And they got, I won't say any names, they had lemons and beans. And if they give that money, put their lemons in. It blew my mind. Now, I'm not saying, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a little debate with this party, no joke. Yeah, excuse me for sharing that with you.
It's all right.
Right within this class.
Yeah. Okay. Look what it says again. He emptied himself. Let me ask you this question. When Jesus was on that cross, could he have come down from that cross?
Yes,
he could have. But no, he couldn't have. 10,000 angels could have been called. Oh, he could have jumped off there himself and just, you know, start zapping those Roman centurions. He could have done that, couldn't he? But he didn't. Let me ask you this. You ever hold a little baby? I got a little, Mary and I have a little granddaughter, about 4 or 5 months old. I'm holding her. Somebody says, throw that baby down. Could I do it?
Sure.
Could I do it? Yeah, I could. I could actually take her and throw her down. Couldn't I? But guess what? I'm what? I'm not going to do it. Why? Why? I want you to see this. He emptied himself out for you, for me. He stayed on that cross for Roman Boyd. He stayed on that cross for Mary. He stayed on that cross for Eric, for Lynn. He stayed on that cross for each of us, Ron. He stayed on that cross, Paul. Man, he stayed on that cross because he knew it was for us. He emptied himself for us. He could have come down, but he didn't. If someone who didn't know you looked at your financial commitments, what would they say to you back? Boy, you can look at your checkbook. I don't hardly write any checks anymore. I'm always going to have to do checks, but I write a check to the church, and I write a check to somebody else who won't take a draft from me. What did your credit card statement say? What am I giving to the council? You know, it disturbs me that, and I wish I had it. I forgot to do this. But you can take on, well, let's do it this way. Super Bowl, how much does a 30-second commercial run?
Oh, man.
A 30-second commercial. Oh, you know what McDonald's says? No offense to McDonald's, but a little 3-month campaign to sell a Big Mac. About 30 million. What's a full page in the newspaper, the Dallas Morning News, cost? It costs a lot of money. How much is this church asking? Oh, there's nothing. Why? They sell more hamburgers out there and produce more, and we've got politicians that are out there spending millions of dollars just to get our vote. Well, I'd rather have them spend that money on purposes of helping people out. I don't know. We just got it wrong in our world today, but I think we need to look at some things that are quite different. And let me say this, too. This is my own thinking. You know, they say give 10%. I've already told you. Hey, just start somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 0.5%. Just start and then keep building on that. You don't have to stop at 10 either. You can keep going. I have actually known people who given almost 90% away and lived on 10. Boy, that's how I'd like to live. Knowing I could live on 10%. But what if you were to give a tithe of 10% of what you'd like to get? Say you're only making $100 now. Let's just use a term. But you want to make $1,000. So, well, that's not practical. But anyway, you get my point. Give 10% on what you'd like to get. Because I think God will honor that. That's Ron Boyd thinking. That may be crazy thinking, but I think God will honor that. At the church I just came from, hold on a moment. The church I just came from, here's what they said. Start tithing for 3 months. If it doesn't work, we'll give you back all your money. Because God says He'll do what? He'll take care of you.
Yes, sir. Just give us an example. You've done this and it's paid off tremendously. Yeah, just a personal example.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Oh yeah.
You can give examples. Excuse me.
Absolutely. One example after the other.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Very popular place we are right here, and you know, we talk about Jesus being a sacrifice, and in the context of giving. I believe that sacrificial giving is not what one gives, but what one should not give.
Good point.
Yeah. The lady with the college.
Yeah.
There were people there giving 100 times.
Oh, yes.
More.
Absolutely.
She gave all.
Yeah.
So sacrificial giving is not what one gives. Mm-hmm. Millions and billions. What one did not.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, it's those little things that are going to make the difference out of everything, Johnny.
It's hard for me to talk, but in the midst of the storms, when you're in your valleys, are you going to stand up for the Lord? Because the world is watching us.
Amen. I'm
tired of our talk. They want to see it in action. I've been living in a motel room since April the 20th. I'm still serving God, still coming to church, and still tithing and praying and meeting people that need our prayers that are out there hurting. Guy covered in tattoos says he can't come to church. I invited him here, whether he showed up or not. I shared the gospel with him. We have to be strong, and we have to know that Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. What are we going to do for Him in the midst of the storm? We may not have nothing, but we can still serve and praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that passage of Luke is so wonderful. Right? We could spend a whole... I wish we could get to it. I need to close here. But in Luke there, where he talks about the tax collector and the publican. Oh my gosh, that's great. Read that. Read that for your... and go back in for a homework assignment. Reread Luke 18 there with those two men. And remember, one of them went home justified. That's a legal term. Justification. That's something that God does for us, like we talked about last week. Sanctification. That's ongoing. Justification. He justifies us. He declares us righteous. He just says you're not guilty. Oh, I'll tell you what, just to hear that from Him means it all. But... there's a couple more things I want to say. Vance Havner had a little quote that I just absolutely love. When we abide, we abound.
Amen.
And I love that word abound. It's scriptural. It's in the Bible. Abound. Because I believe that when we abide with Him, and as John 15, our last scripture, says, abide in me, and I in you. Wow. When we abide, we abound. Thank you, Vance Havner.
Amen.
But Matthew 21:22 says this, if you believe, if you believe. God never forces belief on us. He says, if you believe. Comes back on us. John chapter 14:15 says, if you love me. Right back here, the very first word, if. My people. God's not forcing anything on you. God's wanting you to be faithful, trusting Him with all you got. But Lord, I don't have much. I just got a few loaves of bread and some fish here. Well, we ended up having everybody got fed. That's God's plan. That's God's way. Don't you want that to work? Everybody gets fed. There's leftovers. And the little boy probably still has everything in his lunch basket that he had before. If my people. Adrian Rogers said this, prayer can do anything God can do. Let me repeat that.
Amen.
Prayer can do anything God can do, and God can do anything. Yesterday we had a little hymn. They printed this out, had it on our tables. Until we'll remember this. Great is thy faithfulness. And the chorus is this. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And I've always loved this. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Well, I don't want to trust nobody but the Lord when it comes to my checking account, when it comes to my finances.